And our trunk is going to be Good morning, everyone. We'll get started with a couple announcements. The one just to remember is from 2 to 4 today is Trunk or Treat here at the church. So you can start getting ready for that as soon as the service is over. I think some people hang out and have lunch here. Other people will run home and get warm clothes and get their trunks together. Most of the announcements have been running up there or in your bulletin again, but is there anything that's not in the bulletin that you'd like to bring up for an announcement at this time? Any other news? So, you know, just make sure that if you have anything to put together for the church board meeting, that's going to be November 3rd at 6:30. So you have quarterly reports you might have to put together and try and get those in to Cheryl early so she can get those things together. The memorial service for Mary Faye Teamley is at 10 a.m. on October 30th. There'll be a time of sharing and refreshments in the fellowship hall following the service. Anything else? Don't forget, you still have those shoe boxes outside if you want to pick one up. It's a great thing for the children all over the world to receive one of these shoe boxes from Samaritan's Purse. Anything else? All right, if not, let's turn in your hymnals to 309. We'll sing Fill All My Vision. 309, Fill All My Vision.
Savior, I pray, let me see only Jesus today. When through the valley thou leadest me, give me my glory and beauty to see. Fill all my vision, Savior divine, till with thy glory my spirit shall shine.
Scripture reading for today is going to come out of Colossians chapter 2. And if you've been paying attention during the sermons and you've been listening to Paul's words and the themes throughout the scriptures in Galatians, you'll notice that you'll hear a lot of the similar things here in Colossians. Scripture is very consistent in its teaching. And this is one of the places where you get to hear a bit of that mirror image. So Paul's not just preaching some of these things to Galatians. He's preaching them to Colossians and other places in Scripture as well. And it's just good to see those consistencies as you go through the Word. And I'll be using this text a little bit later on in my sermon today. So let me just read this, starting in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 16, and we'll read through chapter 3, verse 17. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regards to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on aseticism and the worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in this world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgences of the flesh. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You can turn your hymnals to page 473. We'll sing Yield Not to Temptation. 473.
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. The Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is waiting to aid you. He will carry you through. Shun evil companions that languish disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Through faith we shall.
Okay, this is our prayer time, and we can share prayer requests and praises before I pray. So if there are prayer requests or praises out here, then let's hear them. Okay. Oh, yes. Any others? Prayer requests or praises?
Well, I just want to thank you all for praying for me last week. It was one of those, thought I was going to have surgery and was in there right next to the OR and ended up being that the liver was not viable, so they could not use it. But people say, well, how, you know, are you okay? And it's like, well, you know, part of me is disappointed. You know, it was going to work. It seemed like it was working out exactly how I wanted it. I didn't have to involve other people, and there were some other things. But after listening to the surgeon and all the things you're going to go through, I was like, phew, I'm ready to go home. Let's go. You know, I didn't want to stay there either. So, but I do appreciate all your prayers, and keep praying, and hopefully next time things will work out. So
that is a long event when it happens. So when you hear it that it happened and we're up there, probably a couple of months we'll be in the Rochester area. So you'll want to keep remembering us during that time. Others? Do you know the mother's name?
Mrs. Khan.
Huh?
Mrs. Khan. I don't know her.
Oh, okay. What's that?
Pray for Stephanie. She's got her hands full taking care of her daughter and her grandchildren and Nick up there in Cleveland.
So those of you who don't know, Jessica Eimer's broke her foot down near her ankle. I don't know how much damage or anything. All I know is they had to do surgery. And so that happened kind of suddenly, and now she's not able to move around very well, you know, with a broken foot. So just Stephanie's out there trying to help. And her husband just took world championship in the, I can't remember exactly what it's called that he fights in, but he fights in a kung fu kind of thing. It's not called that, but he won the world championship, and he was away when she broke her ankle. So. Anybody else? I just praise the Lord for how he's taking care of us. Let's all go to prayer. Gracious Father, you are an amazing God. The way that you love us, the way that you work in our lives, the way you help us to respond to each other and to you as you teach us and as people have need, we want to remember how much you love us and your ability to take care of us through all things, and yet the world and its way it is causes us to suffer in health ways and other ways. And Lord, that creates problems even with families. And we especially think of Tina Eddy at this time as she's going through this cancer that they can't seemingly win over, and now she's in the hospital, and it's a young family and young children, and we pray that, Lord, you just would really minister to their hearts and lives and help people to minister there and be aware. And Lord, that you'd give peace and comfort even in this hardship. Lord, Terry Woollett, as he's has found that he has some problems with his kidney, that you would be working in his behalf there. And we're thankful for the many ways you've worked in his life. Just continue to work here and minister to him. Help us to be aware of these problems and to pray. And we think of Anita and going and thinking the liver would come through, and that didn't happen this time. Perhaps that was for us, that we might be more prepared. But Lord, we're just grateful that you are in control, and that we know that when the time comes, you'll take care of even this and give us strength and help us to appreciate what you're doing for us. Lord, for Sherry Bentley and the family, as her mother is not doing well, and care for them and help them to find strength in you. And Lord, just as you are always there meeting our needs, meet their needs now. Lord, for Stephanie Imers, as Jessica has injured herself and her husband was away, and Lord, that you would just help her as she cares for that family, and for Dick as well. And Lord, that you'd just give her strength and comfort, and that you'd help in that behalf for Jessica and get her husband home so he can be of help as well. And Lord, we're just grateful that you are in our lives, that you're caring for every need, as Scripture says, that you can give us the strength and that you can meet all our needs. And we know that these are difficult things we pray for, and there are probably other requests here, Lord, but help us to know that you are present and accounted for, and help us to see that in your word and to know that in our relationship with you. Even as we today worship you, help us to so focus on the many blessings and the life you've given us in you, the hope that we have, that we might in the end just praise you, even though we go through difficult things, knowing that we have a relationship and an eternity with you. Help us to praise you from our hearts, Lord, because we love you. And it's all because of your love. In Christ's name, amen.
We'll have our time of choruses now, so if you'd like to stand together, we've been singing this song, and for I think 3 weeks we've done it. The Lord is my salvation. This will probably be the last time for a while, so. It's a wonderful song, just stating that there's nobody like our God, who's strong to save, who's faithful in love. He's paid our debt. The victory's already won. And he is our salvation. The grace of God has reached for me and pulled me from the raging sea, and I am safe on the solid ground. The Lord is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness falls. His strength will help me scale these walls. I see the dawn of the rising sun. The Lord is my salvation. Who is like? Who is like the Lord our God?
as each promise of His word. When winter fades and the spring will come, the Lord is my salvation. Times of waiting, times of need, when I know loss, when I am weak, His grace will renew these days. The Lord is my salvation. Who is like the Lord our God, strong to save, faithful in love? My debt is paid, and the victory.
We could never afford.
sins they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins they are many, His mercy is more.
Our sins.
And our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, Your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with You. Your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with You. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom. And my life began. Oh, Your grace. Oh, Your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with You. Darkness rejoiced, the heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Down on us. Justin and my life began.
Amen. You may be seated. Children 4 to 7 can be dismissed to junior church. Remember, this is the last month for kids to be dismissed to junior church until we get some more volunteers. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, I just thank you for ordering our days. We spend a lot of time putting things on calendars and text messaging and emailing to get things just right, just comfortable, just with some sort of a grip on this life that we have little control on. And God, we plan our ways, but you direct our steps. You know the twists and turns along the way. They catch you not at all by surprise. We're often surprised. Help us, however, to trust in you and who you are. Help us to worship you with our days and our time. Help us to be patient with one another as we change plans for one another sometimes. Forgive us in our hastiness and our hustle and bustle and our running to and fro and forgetting that you have all these things under control and you make all things perfect in your time. God, help us to rest in you with our souls and with our salvation. Help us to find no peace in our doing good to make you proud of us, more in love with us, more secure in our salvation somehow. Help us to only find rest in your sacrifice and your love of a father for his children, a husband for his bride. Help us to only go there for our comfort and our peace and our joy and our satisfaction. And as the waves roll of this life, help us to keep our eyes on you. You are our horizon. You are the steadying of our souls. Help us to find it there and no place else. In Christ's name, amen. There's a temptation for every Christian, young or old, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the faith, to somehow calm your soul by doing more for Christ. If I would just give more, then I might feel more like I'm a Christian. Or if I would say the right thing like those other Christians say, then I would be sure that I'm a Christian. Or if I would just like hit all the Christian holidays and just nail them this year, like then I could be secure in my faith and my salvation. Or if I would stop saying those words, then I would be more secure. Or if I, and the list goes on and on. Where we take our eyes off Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, and we put our eyes on what we can do for God. It is good to serve God, obviously, but it is not good to serve God thinking that in somehow you will make yourself more savable, more beautiful. You are already dead in your sins, a rotting corpse, no hope. Blind, deaf, dumb, and lost. And Christ had to bring you out of that to save you. You can't get lower than you were. So to think that the latest sin has somehow separated you from God is a lie. You were already the worst. And yet he loves to save the worst kind of people. as we preach through Galatians here, you'll see that what Paul is saying is you had this wonderful gospel where God has done it all. He's paid it all. You are his. You are his children. And last week, we learned that you are his children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of the promises, heirs of all that God has. It's yours. It's yours. Why go anywhere else? This is who you are now. Don't go back. Don't turn back to these other things. They will do you no good. And so as we continue in Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, verse 8 just starts out by saying, formerly, remember this, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods at all. Remember this, remember who you once were. You were slaves. You were lost. And you came to Christ and you were found. And you were made a family. There's no more Jew in the pews or slave in the pews or Greeks in the pews or men or women in the pews. We're all brought together under Christ. This is huge news for you. Why would you go back there? Why are you trying to be like these false teachers who are saying, well, if you would just do this, then you would be like us. Then you would be worthy of God. What if you keep these four festivals, these five traditions, these six other laws, then for sure God would love you. Then for sure you would be a good child of God. It says, formerly when you didn't know God, you were a slave before, don't forget it. And you were not a slave to a good thing. You were a slave to evil things. You were a slave to self-righteousness. You were a slave to idols. You were a slave to demons. You were a slave to your selfish desires. You were a slave before. Why be enslaved again? The Galatians might not have thought that they had a master before, but everyone has a master. Everyone. Your master is either Satan or your master is God. There is no in-between. I've been preaching this over and over again, but it's true. There is no middle way. You are a child of God or you are not. We were the same way. We must be careful to understand that we were in the same state as the Galatians before they knew God. Just because we don't have a little idol sitting on our counter, before you have Jesus Christ, your idols are plentiful. Whatever it is, sex, drugs, money, the right woman, the right guy, we can make idols out of anything. We fashion it in all sorts of beautiful ways. It's just deception, trying to keep you from the true God. He says right here that these things that you worshiped before, they were by nature not even God at all. There's all throughout Scripture mockery of idols. Oh, you fashion their hands, but they don't move. You made them mouths, they don't eat. You made them ears, they don't talk. Like, why are you bowing down to them? They don't do anything. They do nothing. Constant mockery of idols throughout the Scripture. It's no different here. These things that you are enslaved to are by nature not God's. There's also a mindset, there's like a deconstructionist mindset, if you've ever heard of that, but Christian, or it could be any kind of deconstructionism, where I was a Christian once, but I found that I was bound. I was enslaved to these rules and these things. And so I found freedom in believing in nothing. I gave all that up so that I could be free. It's a lie to think that you are free outside of Christ. It is a lie. There is always something looking to control you. 9 times out of 10, it's your own evil desires pulling you away, enticing you to leave the rest that you had in Christ. Now, these Christians who leave or whoever, they might be confused about the gospel. They might be in a terrible church or whatever it is that just keeps heaping weight on your shoulders. And so you feel free for a time, but ultimately you'll find that the world puts just as many weights on your shoulders. Say this thing, wear these clothes, get this job, get this money, get this girl, have these kids, do this thing. The list goes on and on. Make sure you're recycling. Make sure you got that energy efficient car. Make sure your house is energy efficient. Make sure that you're saying the right things. Don't say that thing. Make sure you don't say the N-word. Make sure you don't say the F-word. Make sure you do say the F-word on television. Make sure you... The list goes on and on. It's a heap. You can't even keep up. Like, watch liberals, conservatives, whoever it is. It doesn't matter. Watch them without Christ, like, flipping through their book of what they can and can't say. It's a billion miles long. It's a list of rules and regulations, and if you cross that, you're out. We'll cancel you immediately. Done. It is not like that with Christ. Christ knows the next word that's going to come out of your mouth. And if it's a sin, forgiven. He's already paid for it. It's already done. There is no cancel of his promise to you. There is no taking back of his inheritance for you. There is rest there that when you say or do the things that are inappropriate, that your Father does not boot you out. He walks with you. He disciplines you because he loves you. That is not like the world. The world will drop you in a second for the next best thing. When you cross that imaginary line they came up with this year, they will drop you. Christ is not that. I had spoken just for a second about how idolatry is demon worship, and part of that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 and on. So I'm just going to read that to you here. And this is Paul talking again to the Corinthians. Said, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, and we who are many people are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. This is where that idea comes from, one of the places. I do not want you to be participants with demons. I don't want you to be participants with demons. I don't want to be a participant with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake in the table of the Lord and the table of demons. When you were without Christ, that is who you worshiped unknowingly. Demons and idolatry and what we want, we can dress it up so pretty. We can justify it so well, our sin, and make it look so good, just as Satan was an angel of light. So we can make our sins look beautiful to ourselves and to everybody else and justify it and then get them to justify it. And we're really good at doing that. But the goal of the Christian is not to worship the devil, not to worship ourselves. But when you sin and when you walk away from Christ and when you do these things, you are fighting for the other team. You are fighting for Satan. Make them lose. Be kind, be compassionate, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Be patient with one another and make the demons lose. Worship Christ and him alone. Put your rest in him alone. Take whatever idol it is in your life and throw it away and worship the one true God with your life. Cast it aside. There is no freedom in your sin. Why would the Galatians want to go back? Why would they want those things? There's a few reasons why we trust in our actions or trust in our incense or trust in whatever it is. One of the reasons is because it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier for me to tangibly give a certain amount of money and tangibly get a letter from the Catholic Church or from a priest or from whoever that says, hey, you're doing great. Your soul's in a great place. $500 more? You're going to be in that third heaven, that fourth heaven, that fifth heaven. It's wild to think of if you look into like the doctrines of Mormonism or different cults, but you got it right in the prosperity gospel. right? The prosperity gospel that says if you give X amount of money, the Lord will bless you 10 times, 30 times, 40 times. It's easy to do these things, show up on a Sunday, and go home and be a miserable person who believes nothing in Jesus Christ. And you can tell by the way that you live. It's easy. Show up here, do your thing, shake some hands, say hi, check. I must be a Christian. The harder thing, for whatever reason, is to rest fully in the work of Jesus Christ and to cast your life fully into his arms and to rest and to know that he is working with you day in and day out to have you open your hand a little wider, to give up even your children, to give up even your wife, to give up even your job, to give up even your friends. He's just cracking your hands open until everything belongs to God. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Bless the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. God can do what he will. To get to that point is a work of God. It's not something you will up in yourself. It's not something you try harder, you bear down. These people, these Galatians, they must have seen these ministers coming in and seen how they still celebrate these festivals. Look how good they look. Look at their outfits. Look at their clothes. Have you ever seen somebody, right? They go to church Sunday evening, Wednesday night. They got their devotionals every single morning, and all those things are great. But none of those things have saved one person ever. But you think to yourself, if I start doing that, then I will be it. Then God will be satisfied. Then I'll be satisfied. You try and do those things. You try and get to that point. But it's this doing that's trying to create something that is not of God. Because when you miss that morning in prayer, you miss that reading, you miss that Sunday, all of a sudden you just feel like this weight of guilt that's overbearing. Because you think in some way that God is displeased with you. You've somehow lost your salvation or whatever it is. You were already lost and dead. You were already blind and deaf. You were already wicked, wretched people. This is what Paul says. He is the chief of sinners. When he was at his lowest, Christ saved him. And that's the same with all of us. Your salvation is taken care of. Now go and serve Christ out of joy of that. That is where your motivation comes from. He is pleased with you already. You are children of God already. I like when Paul talks to them. He says, don't you know who you are already? Don't you see who you are already? Don't forget who you are already and go and do it. Rest in it. Share it. Run away from these guys. Oh, they look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're dead. One more festival, one more gift of money is not getting you any closer to the kingdom of heaven than you are already when you came to be Christ. You're no more a child or a bride because of the last thing that you did than you were the day you were saved. Be careful, Christian, that you're not weighed down by your good works, almost, and by your guilt and by your shame. Good works will come as you rest in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will. You will by nature say, thank you for saving me. How then can I show you how much I love your gift? How then can I show you how much I love your forgiveness? And throughout the Bible, it says, you will love them because Christ first loved you. You will forgive them because Christ has forgiven you. You are forgiven already, so forgive. You are loved already, so love. It's a natural outworking of your understanding of where you are already. So I don't want to come in here and say, you need to do this more. You need to do that more. What I want to say is just rest in what Christ has already done for you. And I guarantee you, if you can find that rest and joy and peace and love, there will come your motivation. The true motivation, the motivation that it can't be stolen when the person doesn't react the way you want them to react. You're like, well, the Bible said to forgive, so I forgave them, and they didn't react the way that I wanted them to. Well, you don't forgive so that they will turn around and be your best friend. You forgive because Christ has already forgiven you. If you do that, then your forgiveness is free of charge. It wants nothing in return. If you love knowing that Christ has loved you, then you love freely, even though people give you nothing in return. You can give money and gifts and beyond your means, even as people did in throughout Scripture. And you can do that with no regrets, no bitterness when the person doesn't do what you hoped they would do when you gave them a gift. It says in verse 9, it says, now that you have come to know God already, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? How can you do that? Each one of us, especially when we're young, but we still do it to this day. I remember I wanted to know, like, who's the latest band? I wanted to know all about it so that whenever I got to school, I could talk to my friends about it. Maybe for you it's the Beatles. Maybe it's Counting Crows. Maybe it's Steve Green. Whoever it is, it doesn't matter. The point is, if you had the knowledge about this famous person, then you took that to school and people heard how well-versed you were in, like, the latest trend, how much you know about Voldemort and Hogwarts and Star Wars, whatever the trendy thing is, like, if you could just throw that knowledge in there and then give it to the people, could you know so much about that famous person or that famous thing, you felt super cool. Your friends are like, whoa, I did not know that. That's crazy about Jennifer Aniston. That's crazy about Tom Cruise. That's crazy about, I don't know any famous people anymore. But I'm just doing all the throwback people. Anyways. But the point is, there's something about it that made you feel cool if you knew the latest on this person. You knew them. And it's cool if you know God. It's very cool if you know God. In fact, it's the most famous person that you could ever know. But it's better if they know you as well. Imagine you take that same story to school. You say, hey, you hear that latest Beatles track? Had dinner with the Beatles yesterday. It's no big deal. It's no big deal, but it did. Right? It hits different when you're sharing about the people that know you and that you know them and they are so famous and everybody knows. And you're hoping that they think you're cool because you hung out with the cool people. And if you hang out with the cool people, that makes you cool too. Whatever. We do it in a million ways. My brother-in-law was a bank manager at Community Bank, and I would walk in there like, maybe you don't know who I am, but Carl Swan in there in Community Bank, that's my that's my brother-in-law. So I'm kind of a big deal. Right? Just that little bit of small town like fame or somebody knows you or whatever it is enough to make you like feel, I don't know if you know this, but you know, that person, I know them. I had dinner with them last week or today. Or it's my brother, it's my sister. Whatever it is, the list goes on. We all have probably had that experience at some point where you've been with somebody famous. It's cool to know the famous. It's better if they know you. This is what this passage is saying. Not only do you know God better, God knows you. And he is the most loving, the most famous, the most generous. He's the most exciting, the most creative, the funniest, creates the most pleasure for his people. He knows you. It's not just that you've come to know God, but God knows you. You got to lock that in and feel that and understand that and know that and be just as excited to share that, just as proud. to say that I know God. It's crazy, but I do. You know how that star is kept in the sky by God? Yeah, I know. I know him. Not only that, he knows me and died for me and forgave me and adopted me, made me his own. And I'll see him face to face here pretty soon. That's wild too. Paul is asking, how can you turn back to these weak things? Because each of you probably could like one up my Carl Swan story with somebody that you know that's more famous. And he's saying, Carl Swan, he's great, but have you met Tom Brady? Have you met, and the list goes on and on. He's saying, you already know and are known by God. Why go back or even talk about these other things, these idols, these worthless things? He says, the things that enslaved you, they gave you no freedom. They just put you in chains. They bound you up. They weren't your friends. They weren't your people. Why would you go back to them again, to be slaves to them? Some of you came out of much different lifestyles than I did, for sure. And it's tempting sometimes to go back to that lifestyle, whatever it was, that sin, that person, whatever it is. And hopefully somebody in your life is like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Do you remember that you were a slave to that sin? You were a slave to that lifestyle? What are you doing? God knows you. You know God. That's gross. That's worthless. What are you doing? Why would you do that? This is what Paul is saying. Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. You have the best thing. Didn't we just talk about this? Paul's saying, let me remind you who you are, heirs, children. You were once dead. You've been made alive. You are free now to worship Christ, free now to love God. What do you want to do? You want to observe days? You want to observe months? You want to observe seasons and years? And somehow that's going to make your life better? Somehow that's going to make you more pleasing to God? You're going to hit Ramadan. You're going to go look at your horoscope this week. Check it out. See if that brings your life any peace this week. This is what he's talking about. You see, the Jews observe seasons, months, days, all these festivals, but they were blind to what they were even showing. Why celebrate Passover? Because it talks about Christ, the perfect lamb who was slain. He died for the sins of the world. Your only hope, your only way of salvation, your only way of life. And that is what Passover is for. You're missing it. You're celebrating Passover, but you're not celebrating Christ. How about the Sabbath day? Oh, you're not going to work on Saturday. Great. Why? That's what Jews do. Because, you know, God rested. Who is your Sabbath rest? Jesus Christ is your Sabbath rest. That's the whole point. They're missing the point. And the pagans, holy smokes, they got a whole thing of festivals. And you can't keep up with the amount of things we try and do to please God. This is what they were doing. They're trying to observe days. They're trying to observe months. They're trying to keep up with these teachers and these leaders. And they're forgetting that all of these festivals, if they're pagan, point to nothing. If they're Jewish, point to Christ. You're missing the point completely. Every time I go through my phone, I don't know what the last time you did this, but there will be a little dot on my iPhone calendar that I didn't put in there. But it's like a festival. It's a celebration. It's a holiday. There's so many of them that I didn't even know existed in there. And this is exactly what Paul's talking about. If you go through your calendar and look at all those little dots, man, there's a whole list of pagan celebrations and whatever festival and whatever holiday that whoever came up with on there. The list is just endless. It's funny how exhausting it can be just having birthdays for your kids when you have six kids. And then you got the cousins, and then you got the nieces and nephews, and then you got, the list is really long. It's like a birthday or two every single month. And for some of you who got grandkids and great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids, some of you, that's a long list. But this is what they were trying to do. Nail every holiday, nail every celebration so that God then would be pleased with them. They didn't want to drop the ball because God forbid they miss one. And this is the weight that these teachers are putting on their shoulders. And Paul is like, have you not listened to a word that I said? Have I done all of this in vain? So Colossians chapter 2 that I read earlier touches on a lot of these things. This verse 17, these are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. He talks about the festivals, the new moon, the Sabbath, all these things. These are just a shadow of what's to come. These are just a shadow, but the substance of these things belongs to Christ. It's exactly what it says when we are reading through that. He said in verse 18, let no one disqualify you. They insist on your asceticism, like you're like a monk. That you worship angels, that you go on in details about your vision, that you're puffed up without reason by sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body is nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. You see, you're trying to do all of these religious things to make you saved, to make you right, but you're missing the head who is Christ. You're missing what holds your body together and the body of this church together, which is Christ. All these things like do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. All these things, verse 23 says, they have an appearance of wisdom. They promote self-made religion, asceticism and severity to the body, but they're of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. You can push all these things aside, the do not eat, do not touch, do not taste, all these things. And some of those things are good, but some of those things are just a waste of your time. It is God who will work in you to convict you, to give you the power to remain convicted, and to give you the joy in Christ that takes you from, oh, I shouldn't do that, to, hey, what good thing can I do? You'll know that you're turning a corner in Christ when you stop saying, what can't I do as a Christian? And instead, how can I serve God today? That's a whole different mindset. That's an important distinction. It's not, oh, do not taste, do not touch, do not do whatever. But I am so enthralled by doing the work of God, I have no time for the nonsense. I want to see what's pure, and I want to see what's lovely, and I want to do what's right, because God is there in all of those things. I don't want to go back to slavery. I don't want to go back to sin. Praise God, He is patient with us in these things and in our growing. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. This is Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind not on not doing these things. He says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you've died, your life is. Again, he's saying, this is who you are. You have died and your life is with Christ. This is who you are. Don't be confused. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, and account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and Christ is in all. So he's saying, put these things aside. How do you do that? Let me tell you how, right here. Put on then as God's chosen ones. That's who you are. Put on these things. Then you have no time for these things. He says, put on then as God's chosen ones who are holy, who are beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against another one, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And here's the most important thing. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Your goodness flows out of what Christ has done for you. And if it flows out of that, it will be without regrets. It will not rely on how the person responds to you. The way you get rid of that stuff is by focusing on all that God would have for you. All the good that God would have for you to do. But most of all, there is no peace unless you can rest that Christ is already pleased. That the Father is already pleased in the Son, and therefore he intercedes for you. The Holy Spirit prays for you. Christ is the mediator between God and man. In verse 16 it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. Sing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God, which is, in case you didn't know, one of the reasons why we sing this morning. This is what we're called to do, to sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord together. And whatever you do, whether word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, you can hear the consistency in Paul's theology in Colossians and Galatians. Where Christ is the head, we're one in Christ. If you died to the elementary principles of the world, why do you want to be a slave to them again? Remember that you're God's chosen ones. Use your freedom not to fulfill fleshly desires, but to glorify God. In verse 11, he says, I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. If you don't get it now, I don't know if you'll ever get it, Paul's saying. I've told you so many times. You grabbed it. You had it. You understood it. What is happening? Parents, holy smokes, we know this so well. I will sit my kids down, and you've all sat your kids down, and I've been sat down. So this isn't just taking it out on my kids. But man, I will set my kids down for what I like to call a reboot, a refresher. Let's go over these things again. Let me tell you what life's going to be like. And for about 2 to 3 days, that house runs pretty smooth. And then it just wants to, like, nosedive. And you're like, have I said all of this in vain? Because that's what it feels like. One more time. God is so patient, though, with us, and so merciful with us. And we've all had parents who are very gracious with us, hopefully. Where they will sit you down again and say, this is how we ought to go. This is how life ought to be. And Paul is very gracious and very patient because he learned that from his God. It is the grace of God in Paul's heart that he would write another letter even to the Galatians. Why bother himself? Paul's got enough to think about, let alone write another letter to the Galatians who don't seem to be listening. But he is long-suffering with these people, with the Corinthians, the Colossians, the Galatians, Ephesians. And he writes to them again and says, what are you doing? You know God. God knows you. You are his child. Don't make me say all this in vain. Come back to Christ. Leave these people who are leading you astray and rest and find peace only in Jesus Christ. And for you all today and for myself today, that is the only place where we're going to go to find comfort and joy and peace and hope. There is no other place. And from that knowledge should flow a love and compassion and forgiveness for one another that is otherworldly, because it is absolutely otherworldly. So ground yourself in Christ, and from that I promise you will come forth a new heart and a new life and new words that will surprise even yourself. as you change. You will have only one person to worship for that, and that will be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, your patience, your long-suffering. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the grace that reaches down to us and pulls us from the miry clay. God, help us to remember that we were dead, that we were lost. You made us alive. You chose us. You made us your children. We know you, and most importantly, you know us. Help us not to run off to idols and weak and perverted things. Help us to run solely to you to find our joy and our peace. And help us to offer the same to others. In Christ's name, amen. You can turn your hymnals to page 720. And again, in following scripture, we'll take the time to sing a song, a hymn, a spiritual song together. 720, Jesus Loves Even Me.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee, that I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Great song to end on that sermon, that it's not that we first loved God, but that Jesus first loved us. You are dismissed.